Well, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We may not get there tonight. If we do, we'll talk about that. But tonight I want to start out just with a missionary letter. And we have one from the Herzls, and we also have just a brief video clip, a couple minutes of the work over there. So I'm going to just go ahead and we'll begin in prayer, and then we'll be seated and read the letter and commence with the service. Thank you, Lord, for many blessings. We do thank you for the amazing grace that it is a sweet sound, and your word does secure our hope, and it's what we live by, Lord. It gives us life, and it's a living word. And I thank you for that, dear God. Minister to our hearts tonight. Draw us closer to you and edify your church. Be with Lindsay in the nursery and help her there watching the children. Fill me with thy spirit in ministering what you'd have me to minister to the church tonight. And give us ears to hear and feet to walk, hands to work, eyes to see. God, that we may just walk in your way and in your will. We do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Brother Jim, his wife, Ari, and then, of course, Rochelle and Tara are missionaries to Vanuatu. The girls are away in school. But Brother Jim writes, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." 1 Timothy 4:12. It's hard to believe we are already past the half-year mark. This is their June-July letter. So much has happened in the ministry, and we are looking forward to all that is planned for the coming months. Thank you for your prayers, giving, and partnership with us in the work here. The church, school, youth, and Bible college ministries are back in full activity after the holidays and school break. Ronald is currently preaching a series to Acts 1:8 on Wednesday nights, and Hosea has started a study on the youth of the Bible with our youth. Amen. It is such a blessing to see the faithfulness and growth in both of their lives and preaching. Continue to pray for God's will in the lives of our Bible college students. Amen. Mount Monaro, if I'm pronouncing that right, continues to erupt, and even though we are some distance to the south, we have small daily earthquakes as a result. The government has issued a mandatory evacuation of Ambae now, as those families remaining on the island are no longer safe. Pray for the 11,000 people who have been forced to leave their homes. Wow. And lands for opportunities to bring the gospel to those in need. Many plans are in the works for future outreaches and for a mission trip to the north. Please pray for open doors, receptive hearts, and wisdom as we continue to reach out to those in need at Vanuatu. You truly are an essential part of making this possible. Thank you for your faithfulness, your missionaries to Vanuatu. Praise Bible College classes are into the second semester now, and seeing God move in the lives of students, keep them in prayer to seek God's direction in their lives. Prayer, we have opportunity in the coming year to distribute 4,000 creation science books to schools here in Vanuatu. Imagine that. That book burning they had in Ephesians, that's what they'd have here if we tried to deliver them to the schools here, except to be our books they're burning. We have an opportunity in the coming year to distribute 4,000 creation science books to schools here in Vanuatu. The book's very well put together and presents a clear and solid plan of salvation. There will be much work in the preparations and scheduling, so please pray for open doors and God's hand and all that is done moving closer to the distribution date. Prayer, we have had many families in the last month dealing with the loss of loved ones, illnesses, and hospitalizations. Please pray for us as we reach out with God's love to these families. Praise and prayer. Rochelle and Tara were able to visit us for a short time here in Vanuatu. It was such a blessing to have the whole family together. Please continue in prayer for their schooling and work in New Zealand. Prayer, continue to lift up all the families displaced by Mount Monaro's ongoing eruption. in prayer. Pray that we will have open doors to meet both physical needs and reach those in need of a Savior. Prayer, continue to pray for safety and good meetings for the Spores as they travel in the U.S. On furlough. All right. He ends it. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:8. All right. Let's pray for the Herzls and then we'll watch their brief video. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Jim, Sister Ari, their family, their long ministry over there with his in-laws and working there in Vanuatu in the islands there round about. And Father, we do thank you. We do praise you for that. And now there's been much trial and tribulation with the eruptions over there. And Father, those that have been displaced from their homes. And we do pray for opportunities to minister and their physical needs and also the spiritual needs to get the gospel to those who are, Lord, in such dire need. And continue to pray for those who are going to the Bible college and learning to preach and becoming stronger Christians, and please bless them in that, Father. We pray you bless this opportunity to pass out 4,000 creation science books in the schools there in Vanuatu. They have a clear plan of salvation in them, God. We thank you for that opportunity. We yearn for revival in our country that we could see such things. It's possible, God, with you, and we continue to pray, Lord, for our country, and help us just to continue to be the light, God, that we can be here too as well. And thank you for the visit Tara and Michelle were able to have with the family. Continue to help them as well, God, and continue to give the Spores safety as they travel here in the States on their furlough. Bless them and be with them in that as well. Thank you for the Herzls. Father, keep them healthy. Help them with the struggles they have physically. Keep them safe, God, and may the gospel go out there. May those remote villages continue to be reached and souls continue to be saved. Lives continue to be changed. Father, you're doing a mighty work over there, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your faithful servants there as well, whom you're working through. And so, Father, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll have a short clip.
Hello from the Herzls. I'm glad for the opportunity to give you a small update on what you've been a part of together with Ari and I here in Vanuatu. The church in Port Vila has continued to see first-time visitors nearly every Sunday over this last year. We've seen souls saved and the saved following believers' baptism. Hosea and Georgina have taken the youth ministry and are doing a great job reaching out to our young men and women. It's been a blessing to see the growth and surrender to God's will in their lives. Our school ministry has over 200 students in attendance at the moment, the vast majority of which will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ during their time at the school. We've had two mission trips over this last year. In Lembinwin, we traveled together with Steve and Lynn Spore and had a great opportunity to witness with many through the village. This was also a great time of celebration as we stood with Hosea and Georgina as they were married. Pray for continued opportunities in this village. The second trip was to Malfacao, where Pastor Nicholson is located. Ronald, one of my Bible college students, joined me on this trip, and we had great opportunities to preach and teach. The church there has completely outgrown the building we dedicated a few years back and is now meeting outside under a sheet metal roof and bamboo poles. At the end of the week, we saw Alan surrender to train under Pastor Nicholson. This May, we had the president of Vanuatu attend our services. It was a blessing to hear him state firmly that he believed the only hope for Vanuatu was through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your faithful prayers and support of this ministry. I pray this will be an encouragement and a blessing to you as you see the fruit of your labors.
Amen. Short and very sweet.
Amen.
lesson. God is so gracious, he sends the gospel to those who will listen and those who won't. His love is that great. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Alrighty. Well, Ephesians. And actually, I'm going to look at 1:4 just for a moment. That moment may be the rest of the service, but we may get to 2, 8, and 9. But yeah, I just want to make a comment on Ephesians 1:4. I'm looking for it here in my notes. I mentioned as we studied recently 1:4, we spent quite a bit of time on that phrase, "has chosen us in him." And we found out that "in him" talks about a fixed position. It just means someone that's in Christ. It means a Christian. It means by virtue of Christ, someone that's in him. If you're in him, you're going to heaven. Because you're in him, you're going to heaven by virtue of Christ, by what he has done for you, because you're in him. It has the idea of a fixed position. It doesn't have anything to do with a transition. And I mentioned that some believe that. And some, I'm sure, of the Calvinist persuasion believe that. But I was reading in John Calvin's commentary on that, and I just wanted to make it clear. I was kind of surprised. While there are, I know that there's some Calvinists that use the phrase that he has chosen us in him, he picked us, you know, before the foundation of the world. John Calvin does not say that in his commentary on this passage here. He does not make that mistake or make any applications of chosen us in him to mean that he has chosen us to be in him. He does not make that mistake in his commentary. He does, however, make another one that is actually more obvious. And we'll just read through that commentary there as we see what that is. He writes about Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 6, and he just begins his commentary on it down through there. And he writes, quote, "The full certainty on future happiness rests on the revelation of his love to us in Christ." And I would agree with that. Look at the end of verse 4. "He has called us, he has ordained us that we should be holy and without blame before him," what? "In love." Everything that we have, our happiness, rests, of course, on his love for us and what he's promised. So I would wholly agree with that. He says, our future happiness rests on the revelation of his love to us in Christ, which God makes in the gospel. He says, "But to confirm the matter more fully, he rises to the first cause, to the fountain." Now he's waxing eloquent in his speech here to make a point. He says, but to confirm the matter more fully, he rises to the first cause, to the fountain, -, the eternal election of God. Those are his words, nowhere found in the text here. But he says that's what he's rising to. He says, "by which heir," or E-R-E, "before, by which heir we are born, we are adopted as sons." And by the way, when he says "by which heir we are born," he has in parentheses Romans chapter 9, verse 11. And let's just read Romans chapter 9, verse 11. Romans 9, verse 11. We have been through this in depth in study. Romans 9:11 reads this, God talking about Jacob and Esau being born as twins. "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And we have seen that that was showing that before they were born, God had chosen the nation that would come from Esau to be servants to the nation that would come from Jacob. It doesn't even speak of them personally. It speaks of the generations that would come from them. Is it talking about salvation in that verse? Absolutely not. And so when he says that in Ephesians chapter one verses 1-6, he rises to the fountain, the eternal election, then quotes Romans 9:11. He quotes a verse that says nothing about it. So he still hasn't established anything there. He speaks of Romans 9:11 as if though it were teaching of New Testament salvation or regenerate or being chosen for salvation before we were born. It speaks nothing of that. Then he goes on. He says this. Ere we were born, Romans 9:11. And here's where he gets it from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, where he makes the more common mistake. He says. Ere we are born, we are adopted as sons. What mistake is he making there? He is relating adoption with what? Salvation. That's what he's doing. The same mistake, of course, with John MacArthur and others continue to follow unto this day. And adoption in the Bible is not salvation. Adoption is predestined. We see back there in Ephesians 1:4. Get back there, Ephesians 1:4. And 5, talking about those who are in Christ, he has chosen those that are in Christ. He's chosen Christians before the foundation of the world. What's he chosen us for? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, in Christ, God has chosen to look at those that are in Christ, the fixed position, because he knows all things before and after. Though he's chosen to look at those in Christ as what? Holy and without blame before him in love. That's how he looks at us. And what has he done for us also in Christ? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Everyone in Christ is predestined unto the adoption of children. And we saw what that is. The definition of that is found in Romans 8:23. What is the adoption of children? Paul says, not only they, in other words, the creation is going to be renewed one day. Not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Everyone in Christ is what Paul is saying there. Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting. Oh, we're in Christ, but we don't have something yet? That's right. We are in Christ, but we are still waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's when we get that new body. That is when it is clearly, publicly known who's God's and who's not. That's what the adoption was. It was in the Roman culture. When it was made publicly known that this son is an heir, he's no more under training, he's publicly known the adoption. And when you and I get that new body, there'll be no doubt who's the Christian and who's not. And that's when it'll be publicly known. We're adopted. We are members of the family of God. We have that inheritance. That's when it'll be publicly known when we get that new body. And so that's what we see there in that passage there. All right. So he does not make the mistake of an incorrect exegesis on chosen us in him, but he does make the mistake on the adoption, equating that with our salvation, when the Bible gives a very clear definition otherwise of adoption. All right, so we'll go ahead and move to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So his commentary on that. He talks about what Paul's written. First, he asserts the salvation of the Ephesians was entirely the work of the gracious work of God. But then they had obtained this grace by faith. On the one side, we must look at God. And on the other, at man. Calvin said that, I didn't. I agree with that. God declares that he owes us nothing, that salvation is not a reward or a recompense, but unmixed grace. Next question is, in what way do men receive that salvation which is offered to them by the hand of God? The answer is by faith. I would agree. We receive it by faith. And so here's the conclusion, which I would agree with. And hence concludes that nothing connect... This part I disagree with. He says the answer is by faith. And he hence concludes that nothing connected with it is our own. That's not the conclusion that's brought there. I'll show you that in a moment. What Calvin is saying is neither... He's saying that neither the grace... This clearly concludes that neither the grace nor the faith is our own, is what he's saying there. But we're going to say that's not what the scripture is saying, that you can't come to that conclusion. You have to come to the conclusion the scripture comes to here, and it does come to a conclusion. He goes on to say, if on the part of God, it is grace alone. And if we bring nothing but faith, which strips us of all commendation, it follows that salvation does not come from us. It's funny, I agree with that statement. If we become nothing by faith, that strips us of all commendation. If I say to the pilot, you know what? I'm going to trust you to fly me over that mountain because I don't know the first thing about planes. And I trust the pilot that when I get over that mountain, I deserve no commendation for getting the plane over that mountain. Not a bit. Matter of fact, my faith in the pilot proved that I had no power to get over that mountain. There's nothing I could do. And because there's nothing I can do, that is a clear... And I put my faith in the pilot. My faith in the pilot is what clearly shows that I am stripped of all ability to fly that plane over that mountain. You see what I'm saying? So it proves that. Strips me of pride and commendation when I have to do what? Put my faith in somebody else. Absolutely. And nothing that I can do. So I would kind of agree with that term. It follows that salvation does not come from us. It certainly doesn't. It comes from God. But it is offered at God's hand. It is received, according to Ephesians 2:8-9, by faith. Now we'll look at that some more here. Let's look at that some more. Calvin includes that the not of ourselves here is saying, is focusing, here includes the faith. The passage reveals what God is saying by restating it. It's the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Let's look at it. Now, you look at that, Ephesians 2:8-9. It's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Now, in English, we interpret things by a word order, generally. Most of our interpretation is done by word order, and so we look at this passage here, and we would read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." What's he referring to there? Well, he must be referring back to the faith, because that's what preceded that. And so in our in English, we would think, much of our interpretation comes from word order. We think that, and some people interpret it this way, that it's saying, by grace are you saved through faith, and that, the faith, is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. That's what we'd think in English. That's understandable. The only problem is this comes from the Greek, and it's not interpreted that same way. It has a little bit different interpretation. And what is that interpretation? What we're looking at here. Well, in the Greek, you have nouns have three cases. They have three genders. They have masculine, neuter, and feminine. And I think there's five cases also. Also in Greek, but three genders: masculine, neuter, and feminine. And those genders have nothing to do with sex, nothing that whatsoever to do. It just goes with the word. Church is a feminine word. There's other words that are masculine that maybe seem like a masculine word, but they're a feminine gender. Has nothing to do with gender, with as far as sex, male or female, like we would think of it.
all nouns that masculine, neuter, general, they're either plural or singular, and they're one of five cases. Now, we interpret sentences by word order primarily. It's very important what went before it. It's very important what comes after it. The Greek doesn't work that way. It interprets sentences by the word endings that are added to it. A female noun requires a female adjective. It will have the same ending. That ties it to it. Neuter and male the same.
Now when we look at this passage here, well, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's interesting that the word that there, it's a pronoun, so it's referring to some noun or some idea that's already been stated. That is the pronoun tautou, I think is how it's pronounced. That it is singular, nominative, neuter. It is a neuter pronoun. Now, when you study this passage here, for by grace, charis, is a feminine noun. That does not apply singularly to grace. Because grace is feminine, that is neuter. We read on, for by grace are you saved through faith. Ah, faith, pistis. It also is a feminine noun. That is a neuter pronoun. So it does not apply specifically either to, it's not adding information about grace, and it's not adding information about faith. It's not magnifying either one of those or adding additional comments on either one of those, because it's neuter. The only word, the only noun that's neuter in the whole phrase there is the word that follows in Ephesians 2, in Ephesians 2:8. It is the gift of God. Gift is a neuter noun. Now, it could be that it is applying to that gift, but the pronoun that, the neuter noun that, tautou, it can mean that thing or this thing. And we would read, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that thing not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we see it used like that in other places. 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul talking about the infirmity of flesh that he had. 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. 2 Corinthians 12:8. For this thing, that word, this thing, same word, same pronoun, neuter. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. What's it referring to? That what he just talked about, having that illness, this thing. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this, same word, is the will of God. What? What he was talking about before, the whole phrase. In everything give thanks, for this, what I just said, is the will of God in Christ concerning you. And so what Ephesians 2:8-9 is saying, well, by grace are you saved through faith, and this thing, it's not of yourselves. It's of the gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Now, Calvin wants to interpret not of yourselves means no single point, every little detail of that can't be of yourselves. Well, that might be okay if God didn't tell us what he meant by not of yourselves in this passage. But the problem they have with that is he does. The very next verse, God tells us what he meant by this when he said it's not of ourselves. Read on. He says in Ephesians, if we find Ephesians 2:8a and b, the first two parts of when I say a and b, we have Ephesians 2:8 broken up there with punctuation. You have the semicolon after faith. You have the colon after selves. So Ephesians 2:8a would be up to the end of faith. 2:8b would be to the end of the next colon, to the end of that, not of yourselves. 2:8c, you got it, is the gift of God, okay? So when I say that, Ephesians 2:8c, the end of the verse, and Ephesians 2:9 are a restatement of the meaning of Ephesians 2:8a and b. What am I saying? For by grace are you saved through faith. That's Ephesians 2:8a. And 2:8c describes it. It's the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God received by faith. Then he says, and that not of yourselves. That's 2:8b. That's defined by verse 9. Not of yourselves. Look at verse 9. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. God is defining and specifying what he meant by the former statement. He's restating it. For by grace are you saved through faith. How do you get a gift? You just receive it. You have to receive it. Grace is what? You're saved and you receive it what? Through faith. It's taught the normal idea of a gift. For by grace, it's something. Grace is something you don't earn. A gift is something you don't earn. It's not taking away the idea, you still have to receive it. He said, by grace are you saved through faith. Not taking away the normal idea and interpretation of a gift. By grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God, the same meaning. And that not of yourselves, it's not of works. It's not earned, it's a gift. Lest any man should boast. Now, we may have been able to go to those bounds that others go had God not told us what he meant here. Had he not defined what he meant? What does it mean, not of yourselves? Well, he told us. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's all he's saying here. And if you add to that, you are what? You're adding to the word of God. You are opening yourself up for fallacious interpretations, false teaching, if you add to the word of God. God has shown us what we are to conclude from this, and that is that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. And so honest interpretation of the passage will take it no farther than that. And so we see that. You try to add to it, you're going to run in trouble. I'll give you an example. In John 9:1, if you don't stick to what the immediate passage is talking about, how you can make all kinds of doctrines. John 9:1, and Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? He was born blind, folks. Born blind. Born, you got that? So some people look at that. His disciples are asking Jesus, did this man sin before he was born? Because that's why, is that why he's blind? Literally, that's what they're asking him. If you don't consider the whole context. Who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? What's Jesus' answer? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned. Oh, I thought there was only one sinless man in the world. This man hasn't sinned. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Here's another man besides Jesus that hadn't sinned. Wait a minute. You got to lasso it in, folks. You got to keep it in context. Otherwise, you'll get a wild doctrine. Neither hath this man sinned. Nor his parents. But what's the main point? He states it at the end, just like he did somewhere else we just read. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It's not about sin at all, folks. By the way, he's not teaching about life, about reincarnation. Oh, you mean you had a life before this? This man, that proves there's life before it, but before you had a previous life, because Jesus said in this man's previous life, it wasn't because of his sin in his previous life. No, that's not what he's saying. And how do we know that? Because he rounded up what he was saying at the end of the passage. What's he say? No, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but what? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There it is. It has nothing to do with sin. No, I'm not promoting, reincarnation. I'm not promoting that. No, I'm not saying there was another sinless man in the world. I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying this had nothing to do, this sickness had, this blindness at birth had nothing to do with sin. God just allowed that so he could do a miracle in this man's life. That's the whole point. And boy, if you take every little thing and take it away from what God's trying, the point that God's trying to make, you can run a long way with that. And God gave us the point he was trying to make in Ephesians. He restated it. He gave it to us first in Ephesians 2, 8, and B, and then he restated it in Ephesians 2, 8, C, and Ephesians 2, 9. He restated it and gave us exactly what he was talking about. So we have no license to go further than that in the interpretation there. And an honest exegesis of 2, 8, 9 would come to this conclusion. The contrast is being made between a gift that is simply received, in this case through faith, and a reward that is earned by good works that a person does, for which someone could boast. That's what he's saying. Salvation is by the former and not by the latter. It's a gift simply received, in this case through faith, and it's not the latter. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. That is all that God is telling us there. And you can't, and you cannot, through a proper exegesis, extract anything else from that passage. So we see that. Alrighty. And that's all I have to say on that. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your goodness. And God, your word is clear. And sometimes we overthink things, and we try to. There's so many writings in addition to the Bible, and they can be confusing, God. But we need to learn all that your Bible says, and not go beyond and claim for revelation what your Bible does not say. And Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in the faith that which you have clearly revealed, and Lord, to trust your word. And Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for your grace and mercies to us. I thank you that salvation is a gift. I thank you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll just believe in you. Trust in you, we can be born again. And Father, I thank you, and I praise you for that, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.